My name is Brian, and I'm one of the pastors here at HBF. It is good to start off the new year with you here at HBF. And today, as promised, if you saw my social media post, is our vision update. It is a great day to be with you all. I'm excited about all that God has for us today and also throughout the rest of the year. And if you're joining us this morning online, we're glad that you are with us, getting your 2026 started off on a good note. And if you are here this morning and don't have a Bible, you might grab one from the seat rack in front of you, or if you're a guest, take it out of the gift bag and be turning to page 872. We're going to be in the book of Psalms this morning, the book of Psalms, and chapter 126. So you can start getting there. And as you're getting there, it was the first Sunday of 2002, January 6, 2002, that Heartland Baptist Fellowship opened the doors at Harrisonville Christian School / Bowl Activity Center here in Harrisonville, Missouri. How many of you were here for that service? I'm just curious. A handful of us. Praise the Lord. More than I thought. There's Bruce. Bruce is here. You've been here for every service, the first, I think on the first Sunday in January. So it's good. Is Carol with us today? Hallelujah, Carol. Thank you. It's, you know, there's like a magnet that draws us north in the metro. So I'm glad Carol could get down here because she's wonderful. She's helped us so much over the years and getting us started. Carol actually was the one who helped us get our 501c going early on in the first days. And so it's been a good run. It's been 24 years this Sunday. Marks our 24th year. Really, it'll be the 6th of January. So I'm a couple days ahead of schedule. But since we've been a visible local church, now, technically, I was ordained and we were commissioned in April of 2002, and our charter service was in July of June of that following year, in June of 2002, sorry. But since we've started, we've always observed January 6th as the official start of HBF. And that first Sunday, we had no sound system, no projector. If you count an overhead with like slides you flip over by hand, a projector, I guess that was a projector. I don't even know if we had that the first Sunday. It took me a few years, like 5 or 6 years probably, before I was afraid that the wheels were going to not fall off the wagon. I was like thinking the wheels were going to come off the wagon about every year, and wasn't sure if that thing was going to take off. But by God's grace, things were going and rolling. And in short order, God was allowed us to purchase this property and be here. And I don't rehearse that. There's been some years I've stood here on the first Sunday and actually forgot because I'm so focused on where we're going, which is sort of who I am. And I am focused on where we're going. But it is good to stop and reflect and look back at where you've been, because if you forget where you came from, you're not going to know where you're going, right? And so those ancient landmarks are so important. And so as we go forward to accomplish God's mission and God's power, it's important to remember these things. And a lot of things have changed since January 6th of 2002, but there's many things that have not changed at all. First of all, our mission, right? It has not changed. It has remained the same. We exist to equip the saints of God and the Word of God to accomplish the mission of God and the power of God for the glory of God by the grace of God. Now, I did add the grace of God at the end of that. I didn't have that on there initially, but God taught me as we went. I needed to make sure I included that, because nothing happens without God's grace. And that's not going to change, because that's what God has left us here on the planet to do, is equip the saints of God in the Word of God to accomplish the mission of God for the glory of God by the grace of God. And so we had three goals, which we still have: exercise, edify, and engage. But as many of you know, I turned those inside out to make them a little simpler a few years ago. And as you walk in the lobby every year, or every day, I should say, every time you walk in the lobby, as you look at the wall behind the sound booth, it tells you where we're going. Our goals are for you. My job is to teach you, to edify you, to exercise you in ministry, to engage you in God's mission. But ultimately, what does that mean to you? It means you're here and I'm here. We're all here to know God, right, in a very personal way, from salvation through sanctification. And in that, we grow. We grow in our understanding of who He is and what He has us to do. The more we know Him, the more equipped we are to serve Him. And then, of course, there's a point where God calls all of us to go. Every Sunday as you walk out these doors, if you're a member of HBF, we expect you to to know God and grow in God so you can go with the message. It's not just information for us to take in, but it's to come to us and go through us so that we can accomplish God's mission and God's power for God's glory. And so those are our simple goals, and we're going to continue to stick with those. And if you just started coming here, I'm glad you're here this morning because it can kind of give you a glimpse into what we're all about. And many of you know that from the beginning, God has put on my heart to work in cycles of seven through 49 years, though I probably won't see the end of that 49th year. I do pray that God continues to work in our church because we're getting through the cycles pretty quick. It's amazing how fast things go. And so eventually, if the Lord tarries, there'll be that jubilee. It won't hurt my feelings, though, if we're in the millennium and looking back on it. That's okay, too. But but if the Lord tarries, we'll get through those 49 years. And almost half of my life has already been invested here in the ministry of Heartland Baptist Fellowship in Cass County. That's hard for me to believe. I was thinking about that as I was getting this message together. I got saved at 17. And so I spent 14 years prepping. And then the last, of course, 24 years I spent here. And so it won't be long, right, as two-thirds of my Christian life has been invested in this field, that we're going to be in glory, right, because time is fleeting. Our life is just a vapor. And I'm so thankful for all that God has done, but there's still so, so much more to accomplish, right? It does feel so much like we're just charging hell with a squirt gun. But God has made a big difference in a lot of lives, and he's accomplishing his mission and his power for his glory by his grace. And I just don't want to be found, you know, at the coming of Christ as some lukewarm Laodicean lounging around in a pool of mediocrity, right? We want to be hot for God. We want to be on fire for Jesus. And last year, you will remember that our theme was set in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. We had the banner up here. It still is here. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Right? And we spoke about that, and we focused on that. You'll be seeing a new banner soon, and it's going to have another verse from Psalms. And the passage in Psalms, the one I had you turn to. And so I'd like to read verse 5 and 6. We're going to focus this year on verse 5, but really 5 and 6 go hand in hand. And we'll expand on this a little bit more as we go. But Psalm chapter 126 and verse 5, if you have your Bible, look there in verse 5, and we'll read through verse 6. It says in Psalms 126 and verse 5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Heavenly Father, this morning as we come before your throne and we consider what you're calling us to both be and do, we pray, Heavenly Father, that we would have your heart. Lord, we'd have a heart that is not just about doing, but being who you've saved us to be, that we would not only share in your mission, but we'd share in your emotion. Lord, that we would understand not only what you want us to do, but how you feel about it. And Lord, that will go a long way in ensuring that we get through the difficult days and the hard times. And Lord, that we also rejoice over the proper things as we have tears of rejoicing. We have tears of sorrow, Lord. Those tears are what water the soil of the heart, Lord. Those are the tears that, Lord, you use to water the seed of your word, Lord. These are the things that as we go forward in the days ahead, Lord, I'm sure, Lord, that we need to make sure as you gather those tears in a bottle that they've been shed for the right things. Lord, help us this morning as we look in your word. We need to hear from you. Lord, it is incredible what you have done in our life going back to the cross, dying on the cross for our sins and rising again the third day, being alive right now, sitting at the right hand of the Father, sending forth your spirit to quicken us from our dead situation and trespass and sins and making us sons of God. Lord, what an incredible thing. If we just stopped there, we could rejoice for all of eternity. And yet, Lord, you've left us here on this planet. Lord, you've left us here in these old carcasses to accomplish your mission and your power so we can connect with people that are dead in trespass and sins. Help us today. Learn from your word and use it, Lord, to encourage us as only you can as we look forward into this coming year in 2026. We thank you and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so this passage I've chosen, of course, this year as in that 7-year cycle, we continue to work through different aspects of really what God would have us to do. Israel, of course, worked on a cycle that led to Jubilee. And so we're in a spiritual business of sowing and planting and the economy, the spiritual economy of the kingdom of God to build God's kingdom. And so this year we're going to focus on sowing. The context of this passage, however, is referring to Israel's return from Babylon, right? The captivity after 70 years, God had restored his people who had left the promised land weeping. And this is really a mirror image of what we saw in Exodus. In Exodus, we'd seen the faith that was required to enter the promised land. And we see in Psalms 126 the faithfulness of the Lord to restore those that lost their inheritance, right? Not everybody who leaves Egypt makes it into the promised land, right? And even those who get into the promised land, so to speak, those that have a successful venture find out over time that we can lose ground. We can lose inheritance, right? Israel had everything at their disposal. God put them in the promised land. And then, of course, before it was over, they were weeping as they were taken captive into Babylon. It would seem as though that there was no more hope for them. But that wasn't the case at all. God had a redemptive plan for Israel. And even when we don't keep our promises, he keeps his. Amen? There's probably somebody this morning that needs to hear that. Right? You may have come in here this morning feeling like, man, I might as well quit before I got started. It's a new year and I'm already behind. Right? I'm already in debt to sin. Well, guess what? God can set you free this morning and make you free. But it's his power. It's his ability to do that. And that's really what this passage in Psalms 126 is talking about. God literally brought Israel out of captivity. It was miraculous. And you know what? He does the same thing for us today. These were his children. These were his promised people. And God had a plan for them. How many of this morning would like to have a do-over, right? The whole world likes to have a do-over. That's what New Year's is all about. And so that's often what the people are looking for. They make their resolutions and they want to do things differently. And it's sort of like a do-over. The only problem is we often can't meet our own expectations. I mean, we often just don't meet our own expectations. And man, that's more demoralizing than when you don't meet my expectations, right? And so you understand it's one thing to not meet other people's expectations, but when you can't even keep your own expectations, man, it's kind of a gut punch. What in the world? What is God going to do with us? Well, praise God. He is good. That's why we need the Lord's transformation, right? Not just his information and not just reformation. We really need transformation. And that ties us to why HBF exists. We really have nothing to offer but the promises of God's word. And to some, that seems like nothing. But to those of us that have claimed God's promises with a pure heart, we know that's everything. It's really all you need to experience transformation. Because Jesus has done all the work, and he still does the work in our lives to make us the creatures that God has called us to be and changed us into. And that's all we need. We don't have enough resources in any category to fulfill God's mission. And yet it's in our mission statement that we are here to equip the saints of God and the word of God to accomplish the mission of God and the power of God for the glory of God by the grace of God. Well, how are we going to accomplish the mission of God if we don't have the resources? Well, we have to get those resources from the one who does have them. And that is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We do have the power, though, right? We do have the power. We have the power. We have the Spirit of God. We have his promises. So we have two of the things that you really need. And that is the power of God, and that is the promises of God. And those are one and the same. We have those things, but they're not active unless they're being cultivated in the soil of our own heart. And so the truth is, we do have all we need in Christ, and we have all that we need in his promises, and we have all that we need in the power of the Holy Spirit of God that dwells inside of every person who is sincerely called upon the name of the Lord to be saved. And so you'll notice that in the text, in Psalm 126 and verse 5, that they sow in tears, and they reap in joy. The only condition here is a broken and contrite heart. And just as we meditated on the condition of the heart last year, it's imperative that we continue there this year. Because God is calling HBF to sow the word of God in 2026. You say, well, Brian, he calls us to sow the word of God every year. He does call us to sow God's word every year. There's no doubt about that. But there is a unique opportunity opening this year for us to sow the word of God. It actually started opening this last summer. And God is opening the door to people's hearts so that we can sow the word of God. And he's giving us unique opportunities at this time, right now, to seize the opportunity. And you know what? A lot of people don't even see it, which is partially why I'm here today. This is a vision update. I'm here to help wake some people up maybe that don't really grasp the moment that we're in. I mean, just in a big picture context, we're in a moment of the last days. Like, we're getting ready to get caught up. So that's a big deal in and of itself. But beyond that, I mean, when you get a little bit closer to the ground and look at what's going on, there are opportunities right now like never before in my lifetime, in our city, in our community, and around the world to get the gospel where it needs to go on time. I mean, just last night, Venezuela opened up, right? So today, there's saints in Venezuela, by God's grace, having church for the first time in years. Man, praise God. I mean, God does some stuff. There's our brothers being persecuted in places that are difficult. We know about that. And yet, we're still making disciples, and the ministry is still multiplying. God is at work in getting people into the kingdom of God while there's time, and we are part of what God is doing to do that. We're not all of the enchilada. Of course not. We're just a tiny little microcosm. But it doesn't matter what everyone else is doing, right? Let John do what John's doing. But we got to follow God and do what God's called us to do. And so he wants us to get the seed out of the barn into the hearts of those who need to hear it and believe it. And we won't be able to do that unless we lament the bondage of souls and seek God's will to fulfill his word in their hearts and in their minds. What a sad thing it is for those to die without the hope of Christ. There's an old saying that people don't care what you know unless they know that you care. And that is true. It's easy. You know, I just mentioned last week, if you were here for the reflection and projection message, it's going to be hard to know what's true in the really almost the immediate future. Right? Things are going to get dicey, but we have the truth. We do know what's true. We know him, right? And we have that unique opportunity to know who is true, what is true, and to also present the truth in a world full of lies and deception. The thing that Israel had to care about was God's will. He had a plan for them, and they did everything in their power to blow it. I mean, you couldn't mess it up any more than they did. Nevertheless, God in his mercy restored Israel after the chastisement of Babylon and gave them the promise of the fruit of joy. And you think, well, they messed up once and God was good. No, they messed up twice, right? In the fullness of time, Jesus, we just celebrated the birth of Christ. The Messiah comes, and what do? Well, then they kill their Messiah. Like to this day, if I popped in on Jerusalem, gotten Netanyahu's gorilla, hey guys, you missed your Messiah. They don't really appreciate that kind of talk. They put up with this, but the truth of the matter is the Jews to this day, for the most part, as Paul said and prophesied in Romans, are blind in part, right? Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. They are still going to reap some bad stuff because the next person they see as Messiah is going to be Antichrist. And so it's our job to get the gospel out and represent the true Messiah, because there is a lot of deception out there. But God in his mercy wants to restore and will restore Israel even yet again. And in the meantime, there's us, the church of the living God, clothed with skin, but inside we're redeemed. We are new creatures in Christ. People don't really know what we are, but when he appears, we're going to be just like him. I mean, it's going to be, that's what 1 John 3 says, doesn't it? I mean, we're like, undercover cops. We're like not men in black, we're men in skin, right? And so here we are, supernatural beings already living in eternity, walking around with people who are like going to be worms if they don't get the gospel on time. They're going to be suited with a body that's fit for destruction, and they're going to roll around in hell, the lake of fire, for all of eternity. And that should move our heart, because even though we're free from bondage, they're not. And those are some of our family members. Those are some of our classmates. Those are some of our friends. Those may be people sitting in this room. And so getting the gospel where it needs to go on time is of the utmost importance. The nation of Bhutan has a thing called gross domestic happiness. How many of you knew that? Some of you might remember that. Randy knows it. He's a mission scholar. Yeah, they got a thing called gross domestic. They're the only country on the planet that has that as part of their GDP, gross domestic happiness. And of course, they believe that they are Shangri-La, right? That the Buddhist spirit, right, brings everything into order there. It's all synchronized, and that's the place, man. If you want to hit the epicenter of happiness, you need to go to Bhutan, and you need to book a hotel and a tour while you're there. And you will just be happy, 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 like, you know, Duck Dynasty. And they think they have the corner on that. But I hate to tell them that's just not what the Bible says. Actually, I do want to tell them that because I want them to come to heaven with us. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 4, "And these things write I unto you, that your joy may be full." This morning, as we think about 2026, is your joy full? What a great place to start. Start there. Before you get into your long to-do list, just start there. Is your joy full? Are you joyful? You won't be joyful if your joy is not full. Okay? You're not going to be joyful if your joy is not full. Some of us, our cup's a little empty. I know I get there quite often. Part of the reason that we assemble on the first day of the week is to get our cup filled up, right? We fill up with the Word, fill up with the Spirit. Yes, yes, and yes. But really, what are we seeking? Well, as God's sons, we're looking for fulfillment of joy. We need joy in a world that has no joy. We need peace in a world that has no peace. And we know that God's Word has that. So there is a joy that God gives us in having His Word. Specifically in this passage, He says, "These things write I unto you, that your joy may be full." Right? I have lost the assurance of my salvation. Where did I find it? In this very book. In the words of God is where I found it. And then my joy was full. Back when I was a young Christian. I had all the knowledge. It wasn't about the knowledge. I was saved. But yet, literally like a wind of doctrine blew through my life. I got into a real spiritual battle. And Amy was present. I'm not telling stories here. And man, it shook me. I was like, how could somebody from a cult know that much Bible and be so sure? Maybe, well, how do I know that what, then here comes the doubt. Well, how do I know what I believe is true? How do I know if I'm, what I believe is right? Well, I know the pastor believes it, but do I believe it? Well, you know what? God said, that's a good question, Brian. You need to figure that out. And what He did is He drove me back to, I went to the preacher, I went here, and everybody was just like, you're fine, pat me on the head, you know, swap me on the rear, go back in, you're fine. But I wasn't in my heart. So during that same time, one of my best friends got saved. But the joy wasn't there because I was doubting. The devil works in doubt, doesn't he? The cloud of doubt. And guess where I found my assurance? I mean, I knew the lessons. I taught lesson one, lesson two. I was over a year into Christ at this point. It wasn't a lack of knowledge. It was a lack of anchoring to what the Bible that I already knew said. It's lack of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Not just memorizing a scripture, but actually going back and saying, you know what, Lord, I just saw this again. Even though I've read over it three or four times, I finally saw it. I get it. And now when I get to heaven, if you don't let me in, I'm going to pull out 1 John chapter 5 and verse, and we're going to go. It says it right here. I found it. I do have the assurance of eternal life. Right? And so those are things that we got to get to in the Word. Our joy comes from the Word of God. And so there is a joy that gives us, that God gives us from having His Word. The Bible is like a love letter promising us eternal life and an incredible inheritance well beyond the salvation. I mean, that's huge, obviously, but really to be functional in why God has left us here, we have to get past that. That's why it's the beginning of our discipleship process, is just getting anchored in that security of your relationship with your Heavenly Father, because from there springs you forward into everything else God has called you to. If you can get shaken there in your salvation, or if you're not saved this morning, well then man, you got to start there. I know how you think, because I used to think like you. Well, maybe I'll work and I'll work out my good will outweigh my bad. No, that's not going to work for you, because you don't have enough good works to outweigh your bad, because God is perfect and holy. That's why we all fall short, right? And that's why we all like to look at someone next to us who we think is less than us, so that we make ourselves feel better. That's called self-righteousness. And you don't even have to be a Christian. You don't even have to be religious to be self-righteous. You can be a lost sinner and be self-righteous. You know, as you're laying in the ditch, right? You're like, well, he's worse off than I am. That's self-righteousness. It's not going to get us anywhere. God has some promises for us. In 2 John, John writes this. He says, "Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, But I trust to come unto you and speak face to face that our joy may be full. What a beautiful sentiment. He says, you know, I can write letters. I'm good at writing. I'm better at writing than speaking myself. I get it. But he says, you know what? Our joy isn't going to be full till I see you face to face. So you know what? Some of the reasons we're not completely always satisfied and joyful is because, well, it's really going to be found in Christ when we see him face to face. All right, there's always more to look forward to. We're looking forward to seeing our Lord and Savior. And he's given us this love letter. And it part of it creates a longing in us for things above. And that's why Colossians tells us to set our affections, right? Our heart, the soul of who we are. Set our affections on things above, not on the things of this earth. Because the one who loves us and the one we love is in heaven. Not here on the planet. Our fellowship to God's word will have a direct impact on our joy. And before you get treated for depression by your physician, make sure you've met with the great physician in the word of God. Christians are not communing with God in his word, and they get caught up in the briars and the thistles and all the cares of this world. And the next thing you know, they lose their joy. This morning, I want to challenge you in the theme of 2026 to sow. But before I do that, I want to take a minute and just rejoice, talking about joy, over what God has done in 2025. And I touched lightly on this last week, but I wanted to drill down on some of the things before I finish our text this morning, because we have a lot of things we can look back on 2024 and 5 and look in comparison as we look to 2026 and just see how God is doing among us. And numbers are fun to look at because they're quantified and they're tangible. You can see on the little, I put a little list on your handout if you have a handout. If you didn't get a handout, I think everybody took care of that when I was talking. But the ushers can get you one. I tried to put it on the screen as well. But we've grown a little in our attendance this year, which was good. I'll tell you, the Christmas Eve candlelight, we were just about full. I was not expecting that because when we started having candlelight services, nobody was doing that. Now everybody's doing it. And I thought, well, we're going to go down in attendance. But this year was tremendous, by the way. And praise the Lord. That's kind of an outreach effort that we're experiencing. And there's, you know, the baptisms in 2024, there were 20 baptisms. Last year there was 26 souls. Well, we see 26 souls in 2026. Maybe we could see more than that. We're not going to see any more baptisms if we don't preach the word, right? That's the result of people sharing the gospel. New members, of course, accompany that. And I'm thankful for every soul that joins our church. I will tell you, though, we've had as many go out the door as we have come in. So you're like, man, we should be getting tight in here. We're a little tighter, but the reality is I've also looked at how many are not here for different reasons. Some pass on, some sin comes in their life, whatever the case may be. And some, you know, some move, which is no problem, or some other calling comes on. That's different. That's okay. But we've lost as many as we brought in. And that's all right. That's all in God's hands. But just so you know, that's what's going on there. And the main thing that we do here is make disciples. And so you can see that our active adult discipleship has gone up from over double. And so when I told you in 2025, hey, make room in your life to make disciples, I wasn't kidding. And I want to thank those of you that have done that, because we've doubled the amount of adults that are being discipled. And I think we're going to have more. Our volleyball ministry that's going on right now, we went from 8 teams to 10 teams, and those 10 teams are pretty full. And we got a lot of our disciples through that last year. And so those things keep bringing in people who want to learn the word of God, who want to know Jesus in a more intimate way. And then in student discipleship, man, take a look at that. There's a seven perfect number of students in student discipleship. In D1, we went from 12 graduates to 7 this last year. We have 7 How to Disciples graduates this year, 7 Discipleship 2 graduates. Man, Life Issues is knocking it out with 11 salvations this year, 6 the year before. Praise God for that. Journey Home graduates, 6 this year. That's way up from the previous year. That's also really kind of a process of discipleship through our recovery ministry. It gets people grounded so that they can continue on in the faith here in our local church or another local church. HBI enrollment We're running about 8 students right now. And CSA participants. Now, I want you to notice that number, Christ Soccer Academy. In 2024, we had 61 participants. And if you notice under that, there were 18 coaches. And, man, I was gathering up all, and you guys know, I'm like, hey, will you coach? Don't worry about what you know. Just come out and help. Right? You all know I was making a hard sell on that. I still am, by the way. Because if you look, I had to go outside of our church last year to find people to help coach. Because we did not have enough laborers for the harvest that's on our own property. And last year we ended up with 119 children, and we needed 34 coaches. We didn't get all of those from HBF. And we probably won't do it again this year. I don't know. That's all depends on people getting saved, discipled, and prepared to serve. And that doesn't count, all the other things that we need, grounds, concessions, et cetera, et cetera, and umpiring, refereeing. What's it called? Reffing, I guess. Refereeing. VBS attendance was excellent. Went from 69 to 100. Notice though that the U-Grow was down a little bit, so we need to pray about that in 2026. And so these are all just stats, you know, as you look through them, it's interesting to see these things. We had the harvest party attendance, I don't have a benchmark, but there was about 271 folks that showed up for that. That was a great outreach event. 6 missions trips with 32 people. I like that number. There's basically what I like about it is we tithed our membership to missions trip last year. I'd like that. I'd like to double it. It'd be good to have 60 people going out on missions trips. It'd be good to get people out on foreign mission trips, especially now when everybody's scared to travel. It's the best time to go. It really is, because this is the time to strike while the iron's hot. Churches circuited. Of course, we still have a couple churches. Those are really Dayton and Passaic. Although this morning, Tom Ford is in Denton, Texas, circuiting on our behalf. There's a new church plant there. Jeff Gracier is going to replant a church down in Denton, Texas. So Tom from our circuit is down there covering until he gets there on like the 17th or 18th of the month. So that's exciting. So that's that we've already got another circuit going, but that's just a 1 week thing this year. You'll notice that we have planted 0 churches in the last couple years. That's been on my heart. I've been wanting to see Heartland continue to plant churches, and you can't just stir and add water. Now, we're helping with church plants. We've been to Boston this last year. There's several new church plants going. Of course, you guys know Blades Bees is in St. Louis, and I hope in 2026 we can get some folks to go to St. Louis and help Blade out. Just go witness. Go attend church that Sunday, and don't give him any overhead. Just make it easy on him. Maybe go back to Boston, do what we did last year. Tom, if you heard Tom on Wednesday night, man, couldn't he use some help up in Portland? You know, somebody could raise a hand and go to Portland and go jump in and do some witnessing for him. He's getting weary and well doing. He could use some people to help him out. So even though we're not necessarily planting a fresh church plant, by God's grace, we'll be part of a replant ourselves in Passaic soon. So be praying about those things as we go forward. We've been at Passaic now for, it's over a year. You know, it's time. It's time for them to have a pastor. It grieves me that they don't have a pastor. They're just circuiting every Sunday. Heartland's coming in or Harvest Iola's coming in. But that's not God's will. Praise God for Pastor Jeremy taking the leaders and discipling them in D1. They've just finished up this fall. And man, they're growing in that sense. But man, what they really need is a pastor with vision. They need a man to hit the ground there that says, you know what? I see the field and it's white unto harvest. And though it doesn't look like we have anything, we got everything we need to accomplish God's mission and God's power for God's glory. Pray that God will send a man there and take that on because they need it. You'll see that our families, you can't control who has babies. But some of you need to get busy, it looks like. So I know the economy is tight, but come on. All right. But man, look at these binds on WordFirst Bible Publishing. Like Randy said, an audacious goal of 100,000 binds a few years ago, and we hit it. And then, I thought 43,000 was great. That was a lot of work. And then last year, just in the course of normal business, right, with Sierra Leone and everything else, we were at 78,000. And this year, we're going to be cranking out some more. So, man, praise the Lord for that. Because sowing the seed is not just preaching the gospel, though it is, But publishing the word includes preaching, and it includes literally getting the scripture out so people can preach it. So that's exciting. And one of the other things I'll just leave you with here at the bottom is just the stats for the clothing for our church, which is this building and the property that God's given us. When we started the year in 2024, we owed $104,000 on the building, and this year we owe $53,000. And that's not because Heartland pays that much on the payment every month. We pay about $4,000 a month to the house payment. But you know what? It's because some of you guys are excited about getting this thing cleared. And right on time, I might add. And so praise the Lord. I'm excited about that. So hopefully when we start our 25th anniversary next year, we come in and it's the 25th celebration of HBF quarter century, we won't have any debt. Wouldn't that be awesome? Yeah, man. As a matter of fact, if you want to write a check and clear that today, you can. We can just celebrate a year early. How about that? That'd be awesome. But God's been good to us. I mean, the fact that we've been able to service all of that debt and get it done and all that in this amount of time, outstanding. I wanted it done sooner. My goal was 2018, but obviously God had other plans. But again, I don't want to be greedy either. I'm thankful. We could be upside down and backwards right now. So I praise the Lord for that. In 2025, we had some very impactful conferences. The church planners and the missionaries we met, they're going to impact HBF and this world for years to come. And I pray in 2026 that we'll have some movement in the congregation by some of us to go. And I don't mean just some of you, even me, go and just help out like I've already described. In addition to what we already are committed to, right? In Oaxaca, in Romania, in Monmouth, in the ministries. But maybe we could reach out and take a weekend here and a weekend there and do some domestic mission trips, as well as some more foreign mission trips. I pray that we can. And so in 2026, one of the big things that I'm not going to preach on, but I need to bring up in the context of how I'm going to finish this morning, is that the World Cup is coming to Kansas City. Did anybody know that? Okay. If you hadn't heard that, it's coming to KC. And God has been good to HBF because we've been preparing for this now for several years. And it's not because, actually in this case, it's because Sam has a vision, not me. But he tuned me in a couple years ago. He's like, Dad, this is like going to be one of the biggest things Kansas City's ever done in sports. I'm like, really? Because, you know, we don't even like soccer. No, I'm just kidding. And so, we're in Cass County. We like football. No, seriously, Kansas City is the hub for professional soccer in a lot of ways. And so, KC should not have drawn the card to get a World Cup game, but they did because of their location. Because they're right in the middle, so teams can stage here and then go west, they can go east, north, and south, of course. But also because, well, it is actually a professional soccer town, and Sporting's done a good job of capturing a large market. And so it's here. It's coming. What does that mean to us? I'm glad you asked. So in June and July, there's going to be opportunities for us right here in our own city to reach literally a million people that are not from our country. I mean, some will be from our country, but of that million, tens of thousands will not even be from the United States of America. And God has not only given us an opportunity, He's given us tools. Thanks to Pastor Bob. Bob's on his A game and he's getting connected with Alan Johnson. So we have a Romans, gospel tract that we're going to hand out. It's got Spanish and English, Romans with 10 other languages like Japanese, Korean, French, Italian, et cetera, et cetera. In this same track that we're going to hand out. But not only is that something that we're going to do, but our sister churches and Living Faith churches are going to be a part of that. So we've committed to 30,000, both assembling 30,000 and also distributing 30,000. So how many is that? You know, there was a couple hundred of us here. That's a lot. And we can do it. But we're not limited to that. So we're going to find out what the deadline is. I just had a meeting this week with several pastors from the Living Faith Fellowship, some as far away as Montana. We have a team coming in from Greentown, Ohio, which is Canton, Ohio, Pastor Jay Boffman's church. They're coming in to spend a week with us just for this purpose, so they can be a part of Bible publishing, but primarily so they can get on the ground and do some outreach to the World Cup folks that are in town. So even if you don't know how big of a deal it is, other people do, right? They're coming. They're like, hey, can we come and land with you? Can we go out with you? So Luke Fleshman is mobilizing our youth with their youth, and we're going to have a whole week. We're going to need people to house them because when World Cup comes, you're not going to have a place to stay in Kansas City. So HBF, we're going to have to house 20 people during that week of June and the last week of June. But it starts before that. Messi's going to play the first game with Argentina. The whole world's going to erupt. That's historic because it's probably his last World Cup. And so it's going to be a big deal. That launches right here in KC, mid-June. And we need to be a part of that. There's going to be places in Lee Summit, downtown, other locations where we can get out and minister the gospel in a unique way. And so I'll tell you more about that as it's developed, because it's still in development. But God, what I'm also trying to let you know is that we're not just kind of jumping in on what other folks are doing. God has called us. I don't know why. For some reason, to kind of be the tip of the spear. I don't even understand that. And so I really do need everybody's help, everybody's prayer. And we need to be sowing with tears and reaping with joy. What a great opportunity to reach the world. I don't care if you like soccer or not. I don't care if you know who Messi is or not. That's not the point. The point is that there are souls coming to our city, and God is bringing them so they can get the gospel. And God has placed us in a unique position to do that. And I trust that God will continue to bless the fruit of this labor in Boston and Toronto and Dallas, maybe even Seattle, Mexico City, all the other places where there will be games and there will be people that we know in those cities getting the gospel where it needs to go on time. In February, I'll say that right, we'll be mobilizing HBF and our sister churches to attempt to assemble as many Albanian Bibles as we can. Switching subjects. Not really subjects. Switching projects. When we talk about sowing the word, I got an email this week. January 1st, as a matter of fact, right on time. Arion Vogli emails me. Carbon copies me the Albanian Bible, whole Bible, as he's sending it to Bearing Precious Seed. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? 4 years later. Amen. Praise God. It is complete. And by God's grace, Al Braley, Bearing Precious Seed, has agreed to do, he stopped what he was doing and agreed. He's like, hey, give us 90 days to get that turned around. And Bob is a witness to this. And we're like, can we do that in 30? And I was like telling Bob, there's no way. And Bob's like, I think you're right. There's no way. Well, guess what? Al came back and said, yeah, we'll do that. So I'll be praying for this, because something could go wrong, right? A press could break. There could be a problem. The inkwell goes dry. I don't know on those web presses. Something could go wrong. So be praying for Bearing Precious Seed today, this week, as they get that text on the printer and get it going, because it has to get done this month so that Bob can receive it in our armory and we can get to work on trying to get 23,000 whole Bibles put together as soon as possible, because they got to be shipped by March. And so we're going to carry the mail on that. We were going to try to get some partnerships with some other ministries, but as it's worked out, Bob, I think it looks like we're kind of carrying the load on that. So this is the plan, because we're realistic. We're going to try to get as many Bibles done as we can in February. So that, I'm not just calling all Bible publishing team members. I'm calling HBF in February. On the work days that Bob gives us, man, let's try to make a space in our lives. Bring your disciples. Let's get in on publishing the Word of God, because that month is critical. As many as we can get accomplished is what we're going to send, because Arion and Jeff are going to hit the ground in end of April, 1st of May for a conference to roll this thing out with dignitaries and the whole nine yards. So we got to get as many as we can done and on a container and shipped over on time. You always hear me saying, we got to get the Word of God where it needs to go on time. Well, God is, he's calling us on that. He's saying, hey, Heartland, you guys got to get the Word of God where it needs to go on time. That's, and you know what? And on top of that, you're going to have to put together 30,000, gospel tracts for the World Cup, if not 60,000. We're not sure yet. We may have more that we need to do for our other sister churches. And so guys, I'm just saying God, when I say God is giving us a unique opportunity to sow, I mean in every way. Through volleyball, through soccer, through World Cup, through Albania, through missions, right? This is the same stuff that we do every year, but I'm just telling you, God is upping the ante. Why do you think he might be doing that? Because he's coming soon. Amen. He's coming soon. He's coming soon, beloved, and we need to be ready. We need to be working. But not working in our flesh, not working until we're just out of joy and our taken's empty, but full of joy, full of love, full of power, love and a sound mind, full of the power of God, getting the Word of God where it needs to go on time. Speaking of getting something done on time, it'd probably be good if I got my message done on time. let me catch up with where I need to be. Paul said this to Timothy. He was telling Timothy, his son in the Lord, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20, he says, but in a great house, there's not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified meat for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Of course, you guys know 2 Timothy 2, too. We're always there talking about discipleship. But as he gets to the end of that chapter, he's talking about the whole body and how all of us have a role. Some vessels are honorable, some are dishonorable, but we all want to be honorable, of course. We want to be sanctified. We want to be meat. We want to be a vessel that God can use to employ in his work. And so he says in verse 22, this is what we got to do. Flee youthful lusts, but follow after righteousness. Some of the things that will keep us from getting the word of God where it needs to go on time is our own lustful desires. Just our flesh, whatever it is, right? That'll hinder it. Flee youthful lust. Follow after righteousness. Choose the right way. Choose Jesus' word. Choose God's path. Choose that. Faith. Believe God's word. Charity. Love God and love people. Peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Have a pure heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Because if you don't have any life flowing out of your heart, then the people that we minister to won't get the life that they need. And you are the vessel that God is choosing to use. He has put you here at such a time as this, even this morning, because he wants to engage you in his mission in a unique way, because time is short and we see what time it is. I can't speak for everybody else. It's not my issue with everybody else. My issue is, what is God doing at HBF right now? What is he doing in 2026? What is he doing before he comes and catches us away? I just told you what he's doing. He's trying to get us to get the seed out of the barn and get it in the hearts of people. And that barn is not just the armory out back. It's also the store of God's word in our heart and our mind that he's given us. And we have to have the right disposition if we're going to get this mission accomplished in God's power for his glory. And avoid this, he says, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. We live in a world, and I like to jump in on some of that too, you know. You ever get I see wrestling, MMA. And then of course, you know what comes after that? They always got to throw in a street fight. And I'm like, I don't really care to watch street fights. I hate street fights. I hate that stuff. There's no rules. It's not right. MMA, wrestling, that's cool. But street fighting, ah. But that's what the devil wants to draw you into, is a brawl. He says, avoid all that stuff. Get out of the brawling business and get into the serving me business. And be careful what you say and what you see. And the servant of the Lord must not strive. I didn't say that. The Lord did. But be gentle unto all men. Be a gentleman. Apt to teach. That means you got to be apt to learn if you're going to be apt to teach. Patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and I want you to see this in verse 26, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. And so, I started this message talking about the context of Psalms chapter 126, right? Taken captive. Israel was in captivity. They weren't lost. They were saved. They were saved. In the Old Testament sense, as a nation, not individually. But you get what I'm saying. If you don't, get in D1, D2, HB. We'll get you straightened out. All right, we can straighten all that out. I'm talking in it. But they, as a nation, God had saved them. God had set them apart. And we can see that God even gave them an eternal security as a nation, in spite of their bad behavior. But man, they blew their inheritance. It blew it. And they needed a do-over. You know what Paul told Timothy? You know what God's telling HBF today? He's like, hey, you know what? Some people need a do-over. There are just not enough troops. There's not enough troops. What if we filled this up and had to go to overflow? Oh, man. I hate to do that. Then we lose the unity, blah, blah, blah. We've been through all that already once. And if you look around, we're not too far away from it now. But we can't afford to lose the unity. We have to stay together. And we have to recover people who are taken captive by the devil at his will. it got so bad for Israel that the devil could just sweep in. There was no more power. There was no more fight. There was no more resistance. All they had left was tears of regret. As Jeremiah and the gang, Jeremiah got to stay, but most of the folks had to go into captivity. And you know what Jeremiah was called? Remember, what's his nickname? That's right, the weeping prophet. Why was Jeremiah weeping? Because he knew the book. He knew the word. He knew all that God had for Israel, and yet he also could see very clearly that they weren't going to do what God asked them to do. And he wept, and there's a whole book in your Old Testament called Lamentations, lamenting what it is when we don't follow the Lord. It's a new year. It's a new opportunity. But just because it's a new opportunity doesn't mean we seize it. This message this morning can just be another message this morning. It can be another reflection on all God has done. And don't make any mistake about it. God is the one doing it. It isn't me. It isn't even you. Although we have our place. I'll get to that next week. I'm going to pause this message and pick it up next week. We have our place in it. But God is the one that gets the increase, isn't he? Right? We just have to do our part. And so when we're a discipleship church, what are we discipling for? We're discipling for the purpose that we see here in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20 through 26. We're discipling so that we can ourselves stay out of the net, out of the snare of the devil, and deliver others who are taken captive by the devil at his will. So the question on the table this morning as we start 2026, is your joyful? Are you taken captive? Are you in a snare? You can fake me out all day long. You know in your heart where you're at. And the call this morning is to come up on out of that thing. You don't have to be bound. The decree has already come. The message has already been given. The Lord has made you free and set you free. Through the power of the Holy Spirit of God, through the Word of God, and through the structure of the local New Testament church, we literally have a venue. We have a life issues on Friday night just so we can work out our life issues and understand that we are no longer bound to the chains of our flesh and sin. Man, don't allow the devil to deceive you into thinking you are your flesh. No, you are a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And they need to be new in our lives so that as we minister the gospel to others, we can identify with them and we can draw them into the grace and the love of God. When we come back next week, I'm going to expand on this a little bit further, more practically, so you can know exactly what's available for you here at HBF so that God can take you from where you are to where you need to go. You might be lost this morning. You might be far from God. You may be in bondage to sin and death, but you know what? Through the power of God's word, through the Spirit of God, you can be free through faith in Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross. You can be part of it, all God is doing. All this discussion of reaching the world and going here and going there, it may not even move your heart. That's okay. Maybe this morning you're saved, but you need God's heart. You need to understand, what is the preacher talking about? Why is there such an impetus to get something out somewhere else and not just take, 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 but to give, give, give? What is that all about? Man, you need to know Jesus. You need to get his heart. You need to understand the joy, man. It's not right to be sitting on all this love, all this joy, all this assurance, all this promise. Like Solomon in his temple, man. We got all of this stuff and not share it with our neighbor. Man, I don't know about you, but I love my neighbor. I love Twyla. She's a nice lady. I mean, literally, your neighbor. That's what we're here for. We're here to share God's love with our neighbors and with our loved ones that don't know the Lord and with our coworkers and with the co-students that we go to school with and so on and so forth. And so I pray that this stirs up your pure mind, because this is what God wants us to do in 2026. He wants us to sow, right? I'm always saying go, 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 and that's, I'll be getting on that next week. But you gotta, when you go, it's no good to go if you don't sow. And if we're not sowing the Word of God now in our hearts, we're not going to be sowing it to others. We'll just be going through the machinations, the mechanisms that you go through because we created some structure and we got some emphasis going and all of those things. And I can do all that. I can get people moving and going and mechanized. And there's nothing wrong with all that unless we lose our heart. We can't afford to lose heart. Are you guys tracking with me? Let's stand up for Jesus. Heavenly Father, as we stand up before your throne and we know that like an army, you're calling us to go forward in 2026 and sow the word. It's quite possible that there's someone in this room this morning that needs a do-over. And maybe they don't even need a do-over. Maybe they need to start from scratch and be born again. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, as we contemplate what we've heard and what we're going to be hearing again next week, I pray, God, that you would continue to work in our hearts and draw us into the mission that you have for our church this year to sow the word. Lord, we have a man that's traveled all the way to Texas this morning to preach the word of God to a group of 10 or 12, 15 people in a church that's getting replanted. And Lord, it just reminds us of the lengths that you go to get your word where it needs to go on time. And this morning, there's probably a soul in this room. Somebody has come to church this morning and man, they are in despair. They are in bondage. They are in sorrow. And they need to know that there's joy. As those tears drop to the ground, God can use those to soften the heart so the seed of the word can go in and redeem them. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, I want to invite you this morning, especially someone this morning that might not have the assurance of salvation, to just allow God to reach into your heart and change it from the inside out. And you do that by simply receiving what he's already done on the cross, acknowledging that he traveled from heaven to earth 2,000 years ago. And he was born sinless. He grew to be a man and he had a sinless life. He died on the cross for our sins, not because he had to, because he wanted to. Because he is the only acceptable sacrifice for sin. He's the only perfect man. And he has atoned, the Bible says, for our sin. The only way to have that atonement apply to you is to call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says, to be saved. It's like a gift that is available, but you have to take it. You got to receive it. And as we sit here in the quietness of this moment and we think about that, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as Savior and you know you've never really received that gift personally, we want to just take the Bible and open it like a gift. Open it up so you can see in the Bible what it says and anchor your soul on the promises of God's word. And Jesus shed blood for you. You can see it. You can receive it yourself. Is there anyone that says, Brian, I want to take you up on that offer this morning? Well, right where you are, just where you are, just raise your hand in the air. We'll come to you. You're like, Brian, I need to be saved. I don't even understand all you're saying. I just know I need it this morning. My heart is broken and I need Jesus. And I want him to save me. Anybody at all? To my left. Amen. We'll have someone come to you. To my right. In the middle. You want to settle that today. Do that. Just step out from where you are. We can take the Bible and show you in the Bible how you can have that assurance. Anyone else? Anybody else? Just want to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. No looking around. This is about you and the Lord. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. Settle that thing. You don't want to be guessing. You want to know that God has given you eternal life. How about you, Christian? Anybody say, Brian, I need a do-over. Amen. Me too. Several of us. We need a do-over. Hey, let's not get into that too much. Let's be faithful to the Lord. Amen. Let's take the opportunity to avail ourselves of God's word, God's church, and God's mission. Heavenly Father, I pray for your church. I pray for the many hands that went up. Many want a do-over, and we need a do-over. The Bible tells us that you're doing a good work in us, Lord. Philippians chapter 1, until the day of Jesus Christ, you're going to perform it. And we are so thankful for that. We're counting on it. And Lord, I pray, God, that we would find ourselves in the will of God, that we would find ourselves fleeing the things that we need to flee, Lord, and filling ourselves with the things that we need to fill our lives with so we can have joy that's full to overflowing. We have something to share with others, Lord, that is of eternal value, not because we possess it, but because you possess us. Or it's not an intangible thing. It's a relationship that we have with you. It's a tangible relationship with the living Lord Jesus Christ. We're so thankful, Father, for giving us your Son. And Lord, my words are not adequate to express the gratitude that we have. Lord, may we shed tears of joy for the things that you would have us joyful for, and sorrow over the things that we should be sorrowful for. Lord, as a church this year, I pray, God, that we would look afresh at the bondage that souls are in, and not complain and not to think of ourselves more high than we ought, but to consider, Lord, but by the grace of God, there is who we would be. Lord, that we would be broken over those in captivity that have no hope of eternal life. That Lord, we would get the gospel of them so they could be saved. They could have assurance of eternal life. Oh, Heavenly Father, I pray we'd be broken over those that are born again, but they're serving their flesh and they're not able to really participate in the labor that you have for them because, well, Lord, they're just really not where they need to be. They don't have the strength. Oh, Lord, I pray, God, that you would continue to strengthen your body, continue to build your body, continue to use your body. Lord, that we would not be caught up in a Laodicean spirit, but, Lord, that we would have a power and a love and a sound mind that is Philadelphian. Lord, where you open doors that no man can shut. And, Lord, in our weakness, you do things that only you can get the honor and glory for. Lord, thank you for choosing the weak things, Lord, the small things to confound the wise. Lord, we're thankful that you use us in spite of ourselves. I pray today as we conclude our time in your word that, Lord, you bless your church. Lord, that you direct your church. Lord, that you protect your church. And, Lord, that you prosper as we propagate the word of God, Lord, that you would bless us, not only in time, but in eternity. There would be fruit, much fruit, and fruit that remains that would redound to the glory of God when we get to the judgment seat of Christ. And, Lord, I pray when we appear at the great white throne and stand there with you in judgment, that we'd be so thankful for the gospel that we preached, as those tears are not wiped away until after the lake of fire. And so, Father, I pray, God, for those that we'll be seeing cast in the lake of fire, Lord, that we would today do everything we can to get the gospel to them. It's imperative, Lord. Help us, Lord, and help our unbelief. We thank you and we praise you and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.